Ali.
Mother Eve, will you give me your blessing? The boy is sweet. Fluffy blonde hair, a freckled creamy face. He can't be more than 16. His English is prettily accented with the mid-European tones of Bessapara. They've picked a good one. Ali is only just on 20 herself, and although she has an heir to her, an old soul, the piece in the New York Times reported several celebrity acolytes saying, there's still that danger that she doesn't always look to have quite the gravitas needed. The young are close to God, they say, and young women especially. Our Lady was only 16 years old when she bore her sacrifice into the world. Still, it's often as well to start with a blessing of someone who looks definitively younger. Come close, says Ali, and tell me your name. The cameras push in on the blonde boy's face. He is already crying and shaking. The crowd is mostly quiet. The sound of 30,000 people breathing is broken only by the occasional shout of, praise the mother, or simply, praise her. The boy says, very quietly, Christian. There's a sound at that, an indrawn breath around the stadium. That is a very good name, says Ali. Don't fear that it's not a good name. Christian is all sobs. His mouth is open and wet and dark. I know this is hard, says Ali, but I am going to hold your hand. And when I do, the peace of our mother will enter into you. Do you understand? There is a magic in this, in telling what will happen, in saying it with full conviction. Christian nods again. Ali takes his hand. The camera holds steady for a moment on the pale hand clasped in the darker. Christian steadies. His breathing becomes more even. When the image pulls out, he is smiling, calm, even poised. Now, Christian, you haven't been able to walk since you were a child, have you?
No.
What happened?
Christian motions to his legs, lumpen underneath a blanket swaddling the lower half of his body.
I fell off a swing, he says, when I was 3. I broke my back.
He smiles full of trust. He makes a motion with his hands, as if he were breaking a pencil between his fingers.
You broke your back? And the doctors have told you you'll never walk again. That's right, isn't it?
Christian nods slowly.
But I know I will,
he says, his face peaceful.
I know you will too, Christian, because the mother has shown it to me.
And the people who curate these events for her and make sure that the nerve damage isn't too severe for her to be able to do anything. Christian had a friend from the same hospital, a nice kid, even more of a believer than Christian himself. But unfortunately, the break was too profound for them to be sure she'd be able to cure it. Besides, he wasn't right for this televised segment. Acne. Ali lays her palm at the top of Christian's spine, just at the back of his neck. He shudders. The crowd gasps and goes silent. She says in her heart,
what if I can't do it this time?
The voice says,
kid, you always say that. You're golden.
Mother Eve speaks from Ali's mouth. She says,
Holy Mother, guide me now, as you have always guided me.
The crowd says,
Amen!
Mother Eve says,
Not my will, Holy Mother, but thine be done. If it is your will to heal this child, let him be healed. And if it be your will that he suffer in this world to reap a great harvest in the next, let that be done.
This is an exceedingly important caveat, which it's as well to get in early. The crowd says,
Amen!
Mother Eve says,
But there's a great multitude praying for this humble and obedient young boy, Holy Mother. There's a great crowd here, pleading with you now, yearning for your grace to fall upon him and your breath to raise him up as you raised up Mary for your service. Holy Mother, listen to our prayers.
The crowd is full of people rocking back and forth on their heels and weeping and muttering. And the simultaneous translators at either side of the stadium are racing to keep up with Ali, as Mother Eve's words spill from her faster and faster. While her mouth is moving, Ali's tendrils of power are probing Christian's spine, feeling out the blockage here and here, and where a boost would get his muscles moving. She almost has it. Mother Eve says,
"As we've all lived blessed lives, as we all strive every day to listen to your voice inside us, as we all honor our mothers and the sacred light inside every human heart, as we all worship and adore you and love you and kneel before you, Holy Mother, please, take the force of our prayers. Please, Holy Mother, use me to show your glory and heal this boy now."
The crowd roars. Ali delivers three swift pinpricks to Christian's spine, flicking the nerve cells around the muscles of his legs into life. His left leg swings up, kicking at the blanket. Christian looks at it bemused, startled, a little afraid. The other leg kicks. He's crying now, tears pouring down his face. This poor kid, who hasn't walked or run since he was 3 years old, who's suffered the bed sores and the muscle wasting, who's had to use his arms to carry himself from bed to chair, chair to toilet. His legs are moving from the thigh now, jerking and kicking. He levers himself up from the chair with his arms now, his legs still twitching and holding onto the rail put there for the purpose. He walks one, two, three stiff and awkward steps before clinging there, upright and weeping. Some of Mother Eve's people come to take him off stage, one on either side of him, and he's saying,
"Thank you, thank you, thank you,"
as they lead him away. Sometimes it sticks. There are cases of people she's cured who are still walking or holding things or seeing months later. There is even starting to be some scientific interest in what it might be she's actually doing. Sometimes it doesn't stick at all. They have a moment on stage. They feel what it's like to walk or pick something up with a dead arm, and after all, that's something they wouldn't have had without her. The voice says,
"You never know. If they had more faith, maybe it would have stuck around longer."
Mother Eve says to those she helps,
"God has shown you a taste of what she can do. Just keep praying."
They take a little interlude after the healing, so that Ali can get a glass of something cold behind the stage, and to bring the crowd down a little from its fever pitch, and remind them that all this has been funded by good people like them who opened their hearts and their wallets. On the big screens, they show a video of the good works done by the church. The screens show Mother Eve giving comfort to the sick. There's a video, it's an important one, of her holding the hand of a woman who was beaten and abused, but whose skein never came in. She's crying. Mother Eve tries to wake up the power inside her, but though she prays for help, the power won't come to this poor woman. That's why they're looking into transplants, she says, from cadavers. They have teams working on it already. Your money can help. There are friendly messages of greeting from chapter houses in Michigan and Delaware, with news of saved souls, and from missions in Nairobi and Sucre, where the Catholic Church is eating itself alive. And there are videos of the orphanages Mother Eve set up. At first, there were girls set loose by their families, wandering confused and alone, like shivering stray dogs. As Mother Eve's power grew, she said to the older women, "Take in the younger. Set up homes for them, as I was taken in when I was weakened and afraid. The least you do for them, you do for our own Holy Mother." Now, a scant few years later, There are homes for young people all over the world. They take in young men and young women, too. They give them shelter. They give them better outcomes than state-run facilities. Ali, passed from pillar to post throughout her life, knows how to give good instruction in this matter. In the video, Mother Eve is visiting homes for abandoned children in Delaware and in Missouri, in Indonesia and in Ukraine. Each group of girls and boys greets her as mother. The video ends on a musical trill, and Ali wipes the sweat off her face and goes back outside. "Now I know," says Mother Eve to the crowd, full of crying, shaking, shouting people. "I know there's been a question in some of your minds for these long months, and that is why I'm so happy to be here today to answer your questions." There's another round of shouts and "praise" from the crowd. To be here in Bessapara, the land where God has shown her wisdom and her mercy, is a great blessing to me. For you know that Our Lady has told me that women are to gather together and to perform great wonders and to be a blessing and a consolation to each other. And, she pauses after each word for emphasis, where have women gathered together more than here? Stamping, hollering, whoops of delight. We've shown what the power of a mighty crowd praying together can do for that young man, Christian, haven't we? We've shown that the Holy Mother cares for men and women alike. She doesn't withhold her mercy. She won't send her goodness just to the women, but to anyone who believes in her. She makes her voice soft and low. And I know some of you have been asking, what about the goddess who's meant so much to y'all? What about she whose symbol is the eye in the palm of the hand? That simple faith that sprang up from the soil in this good country. What about that? Ali allows the crowd to go very quiet. She stands with her arms folded in front of her chest. There's weeping and rocking among the people gathered here. There's waving of banners. She waits a good long while, breathing in and out. She says in her heart, "Am I ready?" The voice says, "You were made for this, child. Preach it." Ali unfolds her arms and holds her palms up to face the audience. In the center of each one is tattooed an eye, with the tendrils extending out. The crowd explodes in screams and cheers and stamping of feet. The men and women in the audience surge forward, and Ali feels grateful for the crash barriers and the ambulance people standing in the aisles. They're climbing over seats to get closer to her. They're panting and sobbing. They're breathing in her breath. They want to eat her alive. Mother Eve speaks calmly over the din. She says, "All gods are one God. Your goddess is another way that the One has expressed herself in the world. She came to you as she came to me, preaching compassion and hope, teaching vengeance against those who have wronged us and love for those who are close to us. Your goddess is Our Lady. They are one." Behind her, the rippling silk curtain that has stood as a backdrop to the event all evening falls gently to the ground. It reveals a painting, 20 feet high, of a proud, buxom woman in blue, her eyes kind, the skein prominent across her collarbone, an all-seeing eye in the palm of each hand. Several people faint at that moment, and some begin speaking in tongues.
"Good work," says the voice.
"I like this country," says Ali in her heart. On her way out of the building towards the armored car,
Allie checks her messages from Sister Maria Ignatia, her trusted and loyal friend at home. They've been following the chatter online about Alison Montgomery Taylor, and although Allie's never acknowledged why she wants the files on that case to disappear, she asked Sister Maria Ignatia if she could somehow make it happen. It will just get harder as the months and years go on. There's always going to be someone wanting to make money or influence out of this story. And although Allie thinks any reasonable court would acquit her, there's just no need to go through it. It's late at night in Besapara, but it's only 4 p.m. on the East Coast, and thankfully, there's a message. Some loyal members of the new church back in Jacksonville have sent one saying that with the help of an influential sister in God, all the documentation and electronic files relating to this Alison Montgomery Taylor will be dealt with. The email says, "Everything will disappear." It seems like a prophecy. Or a warning. The email doesn't name the influential sister in God, but there's only one woman Allie can think of who could make police files disappear just like that. Just by making a phone call, maybe. Just by making one to call someone she knows. It must be Roxy. "You look after us, and we'll look after you," she'd said. Well, good. Everything will disappear. Later, Allie and Tatiana Moskalev eat a late supper. Even with the war, even with the fighting on the northern front with the Moldovan troops and the standoff in the east with Russia herself, even still, the food is pretty good. President Moskalev of Besapara lays on roast pheasant and Hasselback potatoes with sweet cabbage for Mother Eve of the new church, and they toast each other in good red wine.
"We need a first victory," says Tatiana.
Allie chews slowly and thoughtfully.
"Can you have a first victory 3 years into a war?"
Tatiana laughs.
"The real war hasn't even begun yet. They're still fighting with conventional weapons up there in the hills. They try to invade, we push them back. They throw grenades, we shoot."
Electrical power's no use against missiles and bombs. Tatiana sits back, crosses one leg over the other, looks at her.
"Do you think so?"
She frowns, amused.
"For one, wars aren't won by bombs. They're won on the ground. And for two, have you seen what a full dose of that drug can do?"
Allie has seen it. Roxy showed her. It's hard to control. Allie wouldn't want to take it. Control has always been her speciality. But a full dose of the glitter, and 3 or 4 women could take down the electricity of the island of Manhattan. "You still have to be near enough to touch them. Make a connection?"
"There are ways to arrange that. We've seen photographs of them working on it themselves."
"Ah," says the voice. "She's talking about that exiled king of Saudi Arabia."
"Awadi Atif," says Allie.
"He's just using our country as a trial, you know."
Tatiana swallows down another gulp of wine.
"They're sending in some of their men in rubber suits with their stupid battery packs on their backs. He wants to show that the change means nothing. He still holds to his old religion, and he thinks he's getting his country back."
Tatiana makes a long arc between her left palm and her right, spools it out idly, winds it back, and breaks it with a snap.
"The hairdresser," she says with a smile, "didn't know what she was starting."
She looks directly at Allie, a sudden, intense stare.
"Awadi Atif thinks he's been sent on a holy war, and I think he's right. I was chosen by God for this."
"She wants you to tell her she was," says the voice. "Tell her."
"You were," says Allie. "God has a special mission for you."
I have always believed there was something greater than me, something better. And when I saw you, the force in the way you speak to the people, I see that you are her messenger, and you and I have met at this time for this reason, to bring this message to the world.
The voice says,
Didn't I tell you I had some things in store for you?
Ali says, So, when you say you want a fast victory, you mean that when Awari Atif sends down his electric troops, you want to destroy them utterly. Tatiana waves a hand.
I have chemical weapons left over from Cold War. If I wanted to destroy them utterly, I could do it. No.
She leans forward.
I want to humiliate them, show that this mechanical power cannot compare with what we have in our bodies.
The voice says,
Do you see it?
And Ali does see it, suddenly and all at once. Awadi Atif of Saudi Arabia has armed the troops in North Moldova. They plan to retake Bessapara, the Republic of the Women. For them, this would show that this change is merely a minor deviation from the norm, that the right way will reassert itself. And if they lose, and lose utterly. Ali begins to smile. The Holy Mother's way will spread across the world, from person to person, from country to country. The thing will be over before it's begun.
Tatiana raises her glass for a toast. I knew you would see it when we invited you here. I hoped you would understand what I mean. The world is watching this war.
She wants you to bless her war, says the voice. Tricky.
Tricky if she loses, says Ali in her heart.
I thought you wanted to be safe, says the voice.
You told me I couldn't be safe unless I owned the place, says Ali in her heart.
And I told you that you couldn't get there from here,
says the voice. Whose side are you on anyway? Says Ali. Mother Eve speaks slowly and carefully. Mother Eve measures her words. Nothing that Mother Eve says is without consequence. She looks directly into the camera and waits for the red light to flash on.
We don't have to ask ourselves what the Saudi royal family will do if they win this war, she says. We've already seen it. We know what happened in Saudi Arabia for decades, and we know that God turned her face from it in horror and disgust. We don't have to ask ourselves who is on the side of justice when we meet the brave fighters of Bessapara, many of whom were trafficked women, shackled women, women who would have died alone in the dark if God had not sent her light to guide them. This country, she says, is God's country. And this war is God's war. With her help, we shall have a mighty victory. With her help, everything will be overturned.
The red light blinks off. The message goes out across the world. Mother Eve and her millions of loyal followers on YouTube and Instagram, on Facebook and Twitter, her donors and her friends, are with Bessapara and the Republic of the Women. They've made their choice.